From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
It's practically December, but like many gardeners, I'm already thinking about spring. One big element of that thinking is how to maximize the power of flower bulbs. And though you might have already planted some in the ground earlier this fall, there are still opportunities to call more bulbs into play. It's not too late to force pots of bulbs that can add extra color to your outdoor spring displays, for instance, or prepare others to provide indoor cheer while we wait. You just need to know a few strategic tactics, which today's guest is here to share. So more in a moment, but first, these messages.
Underwriting support for Away to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at wholesale prices. On the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, whiteflowerfarm.com.
Bulbs are one important element in Peggy Ann Montgomery's garden that she shares with her husband, Dan Benarchik, in Wilmington, Delaware, a popular destination on Garden Conservancy Open Day tours and one of the exceptional private gardens featured in the book American Roots. Peggy Ann is a professional horticulturist and part of the team at Garden Media Group, where she represents Royal Dutch Anthos, a trade organization for Dutch bulb growers and exporters in the U.S. and Canada. I'm glad to welcome her today. And hi, how are you, Peggy Ann?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Okay, a little, you know, crazy, the last minute chores of, of a crazy season. Yeah, bulbs have been part of your life for a long time. Yes, you even lived in the Netherlands, didn't you?
I did. I lived in the Netherlands for about 15 years. And of course, that's the bulb capital of the world. But even when I was a little child growing up in Minnesota, my mother grew tulips. So I've really had bulbs around me my whole life.
Yeah. And they're such an important, I mean, to me, they're such a symbol of spring. You know what I mean? They're just synonymous almost, right? We've come to know them as synonymous with spring. So there's so many things I want to ask you about, you know, from sort of the best year-round care for amaryllis to how to force pots of bulbs to use outdoors in springtime. So maybe let's start there with sort of the forcing for outdoor use, because I think that's something that a lot of people think is even more complicated than it needs to be. And I have friends who do it in fairly simple ways, you know, taking some of their extra tulips when they plant tulip bulbs in the fall outside and putting them in big pots and putting them in their garage in the winter, and it works.
Yeah, so. It really does. And it's not that difficult. I think one thing that's kind of important to remember is when you're going to leave a pot outside for the winter, whatever you're growing should be two zones hardier than yours. For instance, I'm in zone 7. So if I was going to pot up bulbs, you know, for outdoors, I would want to plant things that were hardy in zone 5. Mm-hmm. So you just want to make sure it's a little hardier. And, you know, you have to think about your pot, too, because terracotta can certainly crack in freezing conditions. But other than that, it's a great way to work. And there's this really fun thing called lasagna planting, where you plant bulbs in different layers in a big pot, like your tulips at the bottom and then narcissus and maybe grape hyacinths and crocus. So they bloom in succession for many, many weeks.
In one big pot.
Yes.
Huh. And so in a way, what we're doing, if we try to do this, and it's a kind of fun thing, we're going to talk about, of course, where to get the bulbs and all that, you know, how we can still get them now. One of the fun things about it is that it's like having this extra form of annuals, but for early spring, like not summer annuals, you know, but like we're making our own sort of annual color for the earliest part of the season, right?
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? I'm a diehard gardener. And to me, the first flowers of spring are really the most precious. We've been through the darker days of winter when it's cold and we're not in our garden and not outside as much. And it's those first bulbs that start blooming that get me outside to start, noticing the garden and see what's going on. And it gives you that hope that spring's coming.
So there's the whole issue of chill period, and so bulbs need a certain amount of chill, of winter chill, to get ready to set their buds, their flower buds, and then eventually bloom and so forth. So how do we simulate that? And there's still time to simulate that if we want to force some pots. Whether I love that lasagna idea, by the way, that's a great one, because boy, that's going to be a lot more show from the one pot, as you say. So what's how does the chill period work, and what's sort of the general rules of thumb and some easy ones to get started with?
So, they are going to have to go through a cold period like they would, where they came from in nature. And so there's a number of ways you can do that. Most are going to take a chill period of about, oh, I don't know, let's say 12 weeks as a kind of a general rule. So you can do a number of things. If you're able to, you can put them outside. If it's not too cold where you live, put them outside in a window well, or maybe just cover them with a little bit of chicken wire or something so the squirrels don't dig them up, or put them in your garage. It's a great use for that beer fridge you've got, or a cold basement. And they just want to be in a cool, dark place. You're going to shoot for a temperature of around 40 degrees. We don't want them to be freezing, but they need to be cold. And they're just going to, you'll check on them every couple of weeks. Maybe give them just a little bit of water, not too much. That will promote them rotting. So just kind of keep an eye on them. And then when you kind of see the buds are starting to come up, or you can dig in there a little bit and see that they're putting on a good roots, then after that period is over, you can bring them in the house. And you can, for instance, put them in a cool room and let them get a little bit acclimated. And as they start growing, of course, they'll take more water. And in 2 to 4 weeks, you will have a pot of something beautiful and bright in your home.
So that would be some probably more of a minor bulb, like a smaller bulb on that scale, as opposed to like what I was mentioning before. I have one friend who, he'll have extra tulips from the ones he planted in the bed, and he'll put them in big pots and shove it in his garage. And then at tulip time, or even maybe a little earlier sometimes, he'll also have this sort of echo of his beds of tulips. He'll have
Yes.
these big pots of the same ones or complementary ones, and it sort of makes, he can position them just so and make it sort of like to catch your eye and say, hey, we're having a tulip moment, and then you see beyond in the distance the bigger bed of them, So you're sort of talking about that. If I were to bring it into the house as opposed to take it out of the garage, like his big tulip pots, and
Right.
bring it outdoors and start watering it in late winter.
Yep.
So like what kind of little guys would be good for that sort of indoor? I mean, what do you do, like crocus, or what would I, or
Yeah, for sure.
miniature?
I think the minor bulbs really work well because they aren't so tall, and so they won't have a tendency to flop over. So, I would use things like anemones, windflower, kynodoxa, glory of the snow, crocus, of course, galanthus, snowdrops. Dwarf iris are beautiful. Muscari, miniature daffodils work wonderfully. And I also like to use botanic tulips because they are also fairly small in stature.
Oh, so the little species tulips, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, a friend of mine who does a lot of this, her husband is like a very waste not, want not, frugal person, and he's adamant that every bulb she forces, because she does a lot, it has to be then unpotted and put in the garden somewhere. Now, do you do that, or do you just toss them in the compost heap, or what's your sort of aftercare thing with the little guys that you brought into the house? Do you have some that you keep and find a place for in the garden, or?
I do. We have a lot of bulbs, as you can imagine, in our garden. We've got two people with the same plant disease, so we have a lot of
Yeah,
bulbs.
we should say, like, Dan works at Chanticleer. Yes, so
Yes, he does.
the wonderful public garden, and so you guys are a real pair of addicts. I'm surprised you have room for anything.
I know. It's good. We think it's good we have the same disease, because otherwise one of us would be very lonely. because we're always out in the garden. But yeah, you know what? If I have time, I do. Just it's easy as pie to just grab my little trowel and dig a small hole and pop them back into the ground and let the foliage die back and let them go. And that's really easy. It's a little bit harder, I would say, with large tulips and daffodils, but it's super simple for all of the minor bulbs, the small bulbs, to do that. The ones I give away, and I do give a lot of them away because I think it's like the best gift ever, you know, like in March to give somebody something that's going to bloom inside their house.
Right.
I tell my girlfriends and stuff just to compost them and I'll give them some more next year.
Right. So in other words, not to get like burdened by this and worry about it, but on the other hand, you can incorporate them, a lot of them, into the garden. So that's good. Okay.
It is. And you know, I just want to say, you know, the bulbs are not that expensive and it really is okay to use them as annuals. I think we always think of them as they're perennial, but they really aren't that expensive compared to any other plants or the hanging baskets you bought that you're going to compost in the fall. So don't let it, those kinds of constraints get you down. Gardening should just be fun.
Yeah. So, you know, so generally speaking, you said around 12 weeks. Some of them are probably like 10 weeks, some are like 12 weeks. This is the time from when I put them in the pot and put them in that cold place, preferably around 40 degrees, not near freezing and not too much warmer. And so then it's the 10 or 12 weeks later that I bring them into. I just let go over that schedule again with me, just so I make sure I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So yeah, the counting starts when you pot them up and you put
Okay.
them in your cold space, and then you mark on your calendar because if they're in the basement or out in the garage, you might forget about them. You might want to make a little note, or I would forget about them anyway,
Yeah.
and just to like go check on them every couple of weeks, see if they need a teeny tiny bit of water. Just keep an eye on them. And then make a note in your calendar when you've kind of hit that 12-week mark to go look at them. And you should probably see that they're starting to push through the soil already. You'll see some growth.
Okay.
And that's another indicator that they're ready to come in.
Okay. So that's and then it's still going to be a couple few weeks until we get further and we get to the bloom. Okay. So
Yeah.
when I spoke to you recently, we had, had a phone chat not long ago, and you mentioned something to me that I've never done, which is that even if sort of like I'm too busy cleaning up still and I don't get to it for another couple of weeks, there are pre-chilled bulbs. It's sort of like one of these little tricks to cheat a little bit, cheat in quotes,
Yes.
a little bit. Tell me about those, because now you got me looking in the catalogs, and now I see all the bulb catalogs, or a lot of them, have what they call pre-chilled bulbs that they ship in December specifically that give you like a leg up on this process.
I know, and it's so smart. I am not above cheating. We have busy jobs and a busy garden to take care of. And you know how it is in the fall. I mean, we're busy putting things to bed and getting things in the greenhouse and the leaves and everything. So forcing bulbs is sometimes for me more aspirational. So I love it when I can cheat like this. And so pre-chilled bulbs just are bulbs that the grower has already put into a cold storage facility and they have kept them in exactly the right temperature and exactly the right humidity for the period of cold that they need. And so they're going to ship them to you and they are ready to put in the pot and start growing. It's
Okay.
so simple. It's the greatest.
So it cuts a lot of the pre-chill time off. Do I put them in the pot? I mean, they probably don't have roots already. So do I put them in the pot and water them and keep them in the cold a little longer, or just bring them right in the house? I mean, is there, I guess they come with directions. I just have never done it. I've never tried it.
You know, I would put them like if you've got it like a cool place
Yeah.
in the house, you know, put them there for, you know, a week or so. Let them get, you know, get going, let them get adjusted,
Yeah.
and then they'll start coming up. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with cheating, and that it's just such a fun way to do it. And it's going to cut out about, you know, 12 weeks of, you know,
Right.
of waiting. And you know what? Also, Margaret, what I hate is like some people will try this and for whatever reasons, their bulbs might get mold, and then they think that they've done something wrong. And I don't want people to have a bad experience. You know, stuff can go wrong,
In that
and I
12-week
think,
period, right.
yeah, and it's not because you're a bad person. It can happen. You know, they're living things.
Well, and you
So
might not have the right, it's not like in each of our homes we have the exact right climate controlled, humidity controlled environment that would be ideal for this. You know, we're
exactly.
not a professional nursery or something. So, you know, like, I mean, right now I have to find an alternate place for a lot of my storage of my bulbs, my tender bulbs, things that I carry over year to year for spring planting, for summer enjoyment, because I made my basement more weatherproof. I have an old house and I have an old foundation, you know, unmortared stone, and it was a little leaky, and so it was probably 15 degrees cooler down there than it is now that I did the quote home improvements. Well, I kind of shot myself in the foot a little bit as a bulb hoarder because now I don't have a sort of a cold storage facility anymore. My basement got a little drier and warmer. So, do you know what I mean? It's like you've got to find the place in your life, in your world.
Right. And not everybody has that space. And what if you live in an apartment? You know, so I think it's, you know, there's some, like, first of all, there's like the gateway bulbs, you know, like amaryllis and paper whites and hyacinths that are you can buy and they're ready to go. And you can plant them right now, and they'll be in your living room and they'll bloom and they're fantastic. Pre-chilled bulbs are going to really help you out with that forcing. And another thing I do is in late winter, when stuff starts poking up out of the ground, I sometimes just dig them up and put them in a pot and bring some in the house. And that's
Oh,
another way
interesting.
to
Interesting. So you're stealing from the garden, are you, huh? You're
steal.
pilfering.
Yes, I do. I steal for me, and my mother-in-law is was a florist. She loves flowers, and so I'm always bringing her little pots that she has in the nursing home. So she's always got something flowering going on. And then, you know, right now in springtime, in early spring, bulbs, potted bulbs are widely available. So you can go to your garden center, home store, and buy some, and you know, like plant up a little planter of them you can put outside or inside.
So among the bulbs that I might try forcing in pots, are there some that you think are like the for those of us who are more beginnerish, are there ones that you think are a couple of the best ones or a few of the best ones that we should try that you find the easiest time versus are there some that are like a little more advanced expertise, finicky? I mean,
Oh,
any
maybe. I mean, it's basically the same. A bulb should have everything in it that it needs to grow and flower. And so as long as if you can provide all of that right temperature and timing, and that's difficult for some people to do, but if you can, they're not particularly difficult. Things I think are the easiest probably are like the miniature daffodils. They are unstoppable.
They're tough, yeah. Okay.
And like grape hyacinths, muscari. I love those, and they are tough.
Oh, okay, good. So that's great. So because if I'm going to do a little last minute chopping, I just want it, or look in the garden center and see if there's any leftovers. That's two great tips. Okay, great. So you
Yeah,
just you
plant them
kind yeah.
together.
Yeah, and you just hinted about, you know, the indoor things, amaryllis and paper whites and so forth. Now, do you do those in soil? Do you do those in water? I mean, I've even read about doing them in alcohol or something. I don't even remember some wacky stuff. How do you do indoor bulbs, and which ones do you kind of recommend?
Always amaryllis. Everybody gets amaryllis from us for Christmas. That's just a given.
Nice.
So I often just pot those up in soil in a pot. You pot them about so they're about, you know, halfway deep, and half the bulb is above that. This year, actually, for the first time, I've got some very pretty like tall vases, and I filled the bottom up with stone. And so I'm going to do the amaryllis in water. They'll sit on top of the rocks in the vase.
Oh,
Fill that up with water, and
so their
then as
roots will
you,
go down into the wet stones, but
yep,
the bulb won't be sitting in water. It's perched above the water itself.
it's perched right above that. And so
Oh.
what happens is because they're quite can be quite tall and have a lot of foliage, that being in the vase sort of stops them from flopping over.
Oh, interesting. I don't think I've ever forced an amaryllis, done an amaryllis in water. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's
Huh.
exactly the same concept as you would see, when you grow hyacinths, and you can buy them in a hyacinth glass where they sit in the top part and then the roots go down into the water. And paper whites, I also always do in water. Get a big dish and fill it with stones, and you just sit the bulbs on top and water the stones and they come up. And I think what you're thinking about the alcohol is there's a trick to making your bulbs, amaryllis or paper whites, not get as lanky and flop over, and that's by
Yes.
feeding them some vodka.
But that's
I
what helped, that's what would help us to flop over.
know,
It
right? So
prevents the
it's
bulbs
crazy.
from flopping over. I see. It has an opposite effect on bulbs. I see.
It
Okay.
does. It does. It's
Okay.
so funny. So you just do it like regularly the first couple of weeks and let them get started. And then you use, it's a very weak solution of vodka. It's like one part vodka, seven parts water, and use
Huh.
that to fill up their dish. And a study from Cornell said it gives the bulbs kind of a stress. It stresses them so that they don't grow excessively. And I have done it just because I was so curious. I mean, my bulbs are drinking vodka. I had to try it.
Yeah.
And I really do think that it helped keep them in check a little bit.
Huh, interesting. Interesting. The amaryllis bulbs lately that I've been seeing for sale, some of them, I mean, they look more like bowling balls than like amaryllis bulbs of 10 or 20 years ago. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's some
Yes.
really big ones. It's
Really big.
yeah.
They're growing, a lot are growing in Southeast Asia now. I think people have really kind of gotten the message that the bigger the bulb, the more they're going to get. There could be two or three stems on some of those,
Yes, I've
which
seen that. I
are.
gave one to my sister like for Christmas, I don't know, a year or two ago, and it was like when the thing got going, it was madness. It was m
Yeah.
so many stems of flowers. It was
Yeah.
crazy.
And each stem has so many flowers.
Yes.
And this, you guys, if any of you have kids or grandkids, amaryllis and paper whites are the funnest because they grow so fast that the kids can really see that, from day to day, the
Right.
difference. It's really fun.
Yeah. So we have maybe 3, 4 minutes left. I one more thing I wanted to ask about amaryllis was I used to take mine outside in the summer like a house plant, so to speak, put them out there with my house plants. And then when it would get to be early fall, I would bring them in and just, I put them in the broom closet or whatever, like, no, there was no light, no water to sort of let them go to make them go to sleep. And
Yep.
I don't know why I did it that way, and I don't even remember the number of weeks I did it or whatever. And then I'd take them out later in the fall and start watering them again and hope for the best. And sometimes the first year after I bought them, I mean, when I bought them that year, they do great because they were primed at the bulb seller, to perform with excellence. But maybe the year after that, they might have not done so well, and they'd eventually catch up with my system, kind of. But is there a right way to aftercare them?
I think that what you're doing is right, but it's again, it's just, that's a lot of care.
Right.
To have something all summer, it's usually in a smaller pot, so they have to be watered,
Yeah.
a lot more. The way you're doing it is absolutely fine. Sometimes you'll have success, sometimes you might not.
Okay.
And this is another thing, my girlfriends are always like, oh no, now I have to take care of this all year. And it's like, no, it's okay. I'm going to give you another one next Christmas. I always do.
Okay.
Just let it go. It's
So
okay.
let it go.
Yeah.
All right. So in the last couple minutes then, is it really true that, I always read in bulb catalogs and stuff, it's okay to, and garden books, it's okay to, until the ground is frozen solid, I can still plant bulbs outdoors. Is that, does Peggy Ann Montgomery agree with that? Can I still do that?
You know what? That's really funny because I'm kind of the one that plants things a little bit earlier. I want to make sure that they're established and they get their
Yeah.
roots down. But my husband plants bulbs all through December. And
Oh.
I can't say anything to them because it always works.
Right. And again, it's because if these are, I think if they're from the nursery, from a bulb provider, they're sort of, they've been conditioned, like they're ready, right, to like do their thing. So I imagine that's part of the reason for success, even with a super late planting. So I could use that lasagna technique
Yep,
also,
you can do
right?
that in the ground as well. And yeah, it's amazing. You know, I think, Margaret, you know, those of us that have done a lot of nursery work and things like that too, we know that plants are tough, tougher than we give them credit for.
Right. Well, Peggy Ann Montgomery, I'm glad to talk to you about balsam, just to be reminded and for you to help me remind people that it's not too late. So we can force those pots, both for indoor and outdoor enjoyment. And yeah, so like I said, thanks for the reminder. And I hope I'll talk to you again soon, maybe about bulb lawns sometimes, which I know sometime we'll talk, because I know that's another of your passions. So we'll
It
get on to
is.
that sometime too, okay?
And if folks are interested, we don't sell anything at flowerbulb.eu, but we have a lot of inspiration and educational
Oh,
material.
great. I'll give the link with the transcript of the show over on
That's awesome.
awaytogarden.com. Bye-bye. Thank you. And thanks to all of you for tuning in too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show over on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and Instagram as at Away to Garden. And happy gardening, including with bulbs, meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at wholesale prices. On the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, whiteflowerfarm.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.